Can we trust Jesus? Can you trust? You clap for that. Don't clap for me. Has anybody here tried Jesus? And he is all right. And so so it's a wonder that we have these times to reflect and also to grow in trusting the Lord. And trusting the Lord is a daily thing. There are times where, if we're honest, we don't trust. I won't put that on you. There are times where I'm not trusting, when I'm worrying and I'm afraid, I'm not trusting God. But if we read the Bible and we even look at the balance sheet of our life, is God's character true? Is he right? Is he loving? Is he kind? Here's one, is he faithful? The Bible says that God is faithful. He's not a man that he should lie. He's good. And as I share this, I hope and pray, even as you may be going through a tough time or a trial, you reflect on who God is and what he said in his word and how Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, and I'll give you rest. That's a good God. And you can trust him. I will share that walking by faith and not by sight is, it's like going to the gymnasium of life. And if you maybe did sports in high school, and maybe some of the jocks in here, you know, when you're young and a teenager, you work out with weights that you can handle, right? And if the cheerleaders are coming by, you want to look good, you're just pounding out the weight. Like, yeah, I got it. And you see these high school footballers, they're all shaped like a V. They're real big up top and real small down on the bottom, right? I can relate. But then you get a coach. I said, nah, buddy. They start slapping on those 45 pounds. And all of a sudden, you go from doing this to... And if you have a really good coach, you say, okay, Clemens, pop, 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 boom. Now it's time to work out. I'm going somewhere with this, and I'm struggling. I can barely hold it up. One, two, I'm going somewhere with this. That pain and that pressure will break you down. Physiologically, it's breaking down those muscles. It's developing bone, that time, that tension. And all of a sudden, you are getting stronger because you're going beyond your limits. We cannot live this life without the Lord Jesus Christ. You've lived any amount of time in this green earth, and if you haven't gone through some trials that are beyond your weight class, I'm not just talking to the fellas, you will have moments where you're going to need to call on the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. And he comes in. Okay, come on, son. Come on, daughter. So when we read through the story of Ruth, we're looking at God's sovereign care for his children, even through difficult times. The Israelites, when they would read this story, they're reading about the founding, really, of the leadership that would come through David, namely through Ruth. It's set, and I hear some pages turning, which is good. Turn in your Bibles to Ruth 2, because that's where we're headed. Is set in the backdrop of one of the most difficult periods in the history of Israel during the time of Judges. If you spend any time in the Bible, if you've read Judges shows some really gruesome things. And as long as the Israelites walked faithfully with God in obedience, they saw a great victory. But sometimes when you're doing well or you seem to be overcoming, it's easy to turn your back on God and feel like you can do it on your own. And so Israel would go from victory, they would defect and sin, then they would be dominated and ruled by some invading group, whether it's the Philistines or the Midianites or any other ites, and then God will raise up a judge, a man or woman who was called by him to call them back to repent and turn to the Lord, and then he would rescue them. And this was the cycle that went on throughout the book of Judges. So this beautiful story, which is one I love so much, is set in the background of one of the darkest periods of the history of Israel. I say this not to discourage you, but to encourage you that you can have the light of Christ with you in the most difficult of circumstances. You can have joy, which goes beyond circumstances, with your God in trials. You can have a spring in your step and joy with your God. Amen? So that's where we're headed this morning. Lord, say the same. The series, Decisions in the Dark. And for note-taking before we pray, today we're going to look at divine steps, how God orders things. So as a heading, divine steps, if you take notes. And there's three main headings that I'll share. And these headings, I'm just pulling from the narrative. This is a story. So we're going to look at characters in this story, and Naomi being one, Ruth being one, Boaz being one, and their workers. But the hero of this story is God himself. So we're going to walk through that, these divine steps, and the three points are the Redeemer, the work, the rescue. The Redeemer, the work, and the rescue. But before that, let's pause for prayer. Seek the Lord's guidance. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our times are in your hands. What a great God you are. We agree with the hymn writer who says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Help us in this moment to set aside our thoughts on any and other things other than you and your word. Speak to us from your word. Help us to trust you. Forgive us for times where out of fear we've seized control of our lives and made horrible decisions. May we not be controlling but surrender to you by your spirit to follow you and your word. All for Christ's sake, be glorified. And God's people said, amen. All right. Let's look at the first seven verses here in Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the portion of the field. By the way, did you notice that? And she happened. Think about that now, okay? So we get a little clues here of who the hero behind the story is. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servants, who was in the charge of the reapers, Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is a young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while." We start off by sharing that this story is a part of what we're looking at in the book of Ruth has now pivoted. And we began last week looking at Naomi, who was an Israelite woman whose husband took their family. His husband, his name was Elimelech, God is king, took his family, his two sons, and his wife, and they go into the land of Moab, which these were not God's people under covenant. So they left during a time of famine. They went to go in a place called Moab, and there's a whole conversation about whether he was in disobedience or not, yet God in his sovereignty still was protecting Naomi. Elimelech and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, die. And so the story takes place in the midst of grief. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you've had a loved one, mother, father, brother, sister, God forbid, child pass away, that is a season of life all itself. Naomi, whose name means delightful and happy, is in a low state, yet she trusts God. And in chapter 1 of Naomi, she has two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, and as best she can, she wants to give them a better life. She says, things are hard for me. I'm old. Y'all are still young. I can't have any more children. Go back to your family. Go back to your gods and live your life. I'm going to go back home because I hear God has visited Israel and there's food there. So she's going back thinking it's desolation for her, and the best I can do is send them off. And Orpah says, bye-bye. And she pivots, and you hear nothing else about Orpah's life. That's a whole other discussion right there. Many turn from God to themselves and the way of selfishness. The world says, what's in it for me? And this is how I figure it out? Okay, thanks. Love you, Naomi. See you. Don't be that person. But it's quite easy to do. We hear no more about Orpah. But Ruth, on the other hand, had been impacted by the life of Naomi. Scripture says that she had been with her for 10 years, and she says, don't tell me to leave. Where you go, I'll go. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. That is Ruth's testimony. Ruth comes from being a Moabitess, from people that worshiped other gods, to having faith in the living God for herself. That alone is a shouting moment. Not all of us grew up in the church or had people of godly influence, and we thank God for them, but God has rescued many people from out of dark backgrounds, and I hope you are encouraged by that fact alone. And so these two widows take off back home to Israel. Naomi, one character, she's elderly, and to be a widow can be hard even to this day. I look out for my mom. I'm her son. I was talking to some, I'm going to get to that whole, I was talking, hey, make sure you take care of my mom. I deal with the housing association, all that. I have an elderly mother who's a widow. But apart from America's social services, in the context here, to be a widow in ancient Israel meant that you might starve to death. You might be robbed, you might be taken advantage of, you might be enslaved. It's a very difficult time. And yet Naomi trusted God to go back home, and Ruth trusted God to go with her. And so these two go back during the time of harvest, and here's the third character. Let me say this a little bit about Ruth. It took faith for Ruth to leave her family and her gods. It takes faith to repent. To turn from what you believe and trusted in before you met Jesus Christ. May I submit to you that who he is trustworthy. His character, his words, his ways revealed in Scripture. And may I also say, he is at work in the world by the Holy Spirit. I'm 54 years old. Some of the people that mentored me, some of them were Vietnam vets. My track coach, Cyrus Jones, who loved the Lord, and I ran for him at Lincoln University. He used to ride a bike while we were running the hills, and he'd carry a stick. And so if we got a little slow, he's like, hey, get up there, get up there. But he used to sing this song, and a couple of us, he used to run for him, we remember this. He used to say, oh, soldier, if I die in Vietnam, box me up and send me home. And we're running, and we're like, and he's just riding his bike, and he would counsel us and talk to us. But he saw things that we had never seen in life. And we were more than just his runners and his athletes. He was trying to help us out in life. So when we began to do stupid things on campus, he would literally, the coach would show up, Clemens, I need to talk to you, man. It was a deep Southern accent. You know, your mother and father didn't send you here to school for you to act a fool. What's wrong with you, boy? And I'm sharing this because I'm describing people who God used, not just in my life, but God was at work in their life through dark times. I can name some others, and I don't want to drift too far from the text. So Ruth and Naomi go back to Israel. They experience going to the right field at the right time. One, it's at harvest time. Talk about divine steps. When I say divine, we're talking about God, not the universe, not nature, not any. I hear people say that, you know, God bless them, don't be mean. The universe did this. No, it was the creator of the universe. The true God who orders seasons. Not only did they come back at the right season, they came to the right field. And they go to the field of this man named Boaz. Tell you a little bit about him. It says, a man of great wealth. Your Bible may read great wealth or great honor. That Hebrew word, it describes a man that's a man of standing. It might be someone who is a retired, maybe they fought battles, they had honor, or they had honor from wealth, but he's a man of standing for something that he's achieved, not just in his actions, but also in his character. And so this is the field that they come to, and look at this. It says, Naomi had a kinsman who, of her husband, this man of great standing. So not only does he have this standing, but they are related to him. And this is important in the story of Ruth. And for those who study and read the Bible, this term kinsman redeemer. God put in his law ways to preserve his people. So that if a woman was widowed, to preserve the family name and lands, there was a requirement that that nearest relative was to take that person, that lady, excuse me, to get that right, as a wife, that widow, and to raise up that family so that they would still have the means to be provided for and that their lineage would continue. Look at God. God put within the laws of the covenants of Israel the means to take care of his children beyond the present generations, but future too. And this kinsman redeemer is a shadow and a type of what Christ would represent for us at the cross. Because when we were bereft of any and all things for righteousness to inherit the kingdom, because we're all bankrupt because of our sin, Jesus Christ, because of his blood, redeems us from our sins. Are you tracking with me? And if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Is Jesus Christ your redeemer? Amen. Then you have a redeemer that came to rescue you and to buy you back from your sins and troubles. And me too. So this is Boaz. He's a good man. And he has this field that they alight in at the right time, at the right place, all because of the right God. And Ruth, verse 2, goes out to glean. And there's just so much here. If you read the scriptures here, gleaning was the practice of going behind the reapers, and what they dropped along the way, the poor, the hungry, the orphans, the widow, the disabled, can go out and have the blessed dignity of working to get for themselves. So in the economy of God, he provided for anybody who didn't have. So if you were struggling, if you were broke, you didn't have anything, go out to the field. Because it was in the law, you can read it in Leviticus, that you can go behind those reapers and get yourself some grains or whatever it is, go home, grind it up, make your pancake and eat. Look at God. I like to eat. Y'all, if you know me, I like that. But look at how he is providing for us. So that these two widows left to themselves, and by the way, in the backdrop of one of the darkest times, they can live. And they're not drowning in their sorrows because both of them are grieving. I work with people with grief, and one of the temptations is to wallow up and ball up. And by the way, grief is not always related to graves. You may have experienced something in your life or something that's been hard or tragic, loss, financial, health, whatever, and it's easy to ball yourself up and be mad, sad, and quit life. But may I say to you that God is still there, and he's still good. And if you just take one little step, you'd be surprised what field he puts you in. So I can imagine here's Ruth and Naomi, and they got their game plan. Ruth says, hey, I want to go out and glean. She said, go on out, daughter. She's talking to her like a daughter. And Naomi, somebody's got to cook. Somebody's got to take care of things and clean. You know, Naomi's back at the house doing what she needs to do, and they're a dynamic duo looking out for each other. What a beautiful picture. I could camp out here all day. So Naomi goes to this field, and look at Boaz. Boaz shows up and blesses his workers, says, hey, the Lord be with you. And they say, the Lord be with you too. And that gives you a little glimpse of the character of this man. Now, I don't need to tell you that sometimes when leadership or bosses show up in companies and places, you don't always get that kind of a greeting in either or direction. But let's strive to be like Boaz. But when he's there, if you also note, he asks the question, whose woman is this? And he discovers that it's Ruth, the widow of an Israelite, relative and daughter-in-law of Naomi. Now let's continue. There's a lot to be said about that. So that's the Redeemer. Kinsman Redeemer has been identified in this text. Let's talk about the work. Verses 8 through 13, follow with me. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Notice how he talks tenderly to her. Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. Did you catch that? When you're thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Boaz replied to her, all that you've done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. And how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to the people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. See that verse 12? And God would bless and reward her and even use him as a part of that reward. And he'd be rewarded too. Verse 13. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. There's so much here. The book of Ruth really highlights God at work taking care of his people. It shows a picture of the faithfulness of God. But it also shows God's faithfulness to people who are faithful. Because the character of Naomi shows faithfulness, Ruth shows faithfulness, and Boaz does too. Can God trust you to be faithful? Can he trust you with a hard time? Can he trust you to keep doing right when everything in your situation seems wrong? The Bible says the just shall live by his faith. Is that always easy? You may work in a position where you don't get any thank you. On the flight just the other day, last night to be exact, and the day before that, and I said to the gentleman, hey, thank you. And he just stopped. He said, sir, you're the first person that said thank you. I wasn't aiming for that, but it is possible to be tested to serve the Lord from the heart, and that requires faith. So Ruth made a profession of faith. Where you go, I'll go. Where you live, I live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And she shows that faith by her works. So she goes home. Well, Naomi, I guess it's time to go to work. Is there any area in your life where God is testing you to be faithful and to show it by work? I'm discovering that that weight room of life goes from one trial to another. For about 10 years, I taught in hospitals. I do a bit of corporate training. I wear a couple of hats, and we worked with hospital staff with managing assaultive patients. Some of them we have to call the cops with. Some of them we restrain and medicate. And it's one thing to be able to physically handle someone. Another thing to be able to emotionally, mentally handle yourself. Because when someone gets in my face, pardon, and begins to spew profanity at me and about my children and my wife, and then, can y'all handle this morning? Pastor Charles can easily go somewhere else. And who I was before Christ starts to kind of rise up in me, and all of a sudden I'm thinking of multiple ways to hurt persons. That's not of Christ. Going back to that weight, that's the part Jesus wants to get out of me. I'm drifting far from the text. Let me get back to it. The work was to walk by faith even when they didn't have the answer in front of them. Ruth went to that field. She had no idea that Boaz would be there. Naomi went back home, and she had no idea that God had this in store. Before you make a hasty decision in your trial, trust God. Do you hear what I'm saying to you today? Trust God. Because it could be that that weight that you're under is him testing you to bless you and not to harm you. Does that make sense? I hope I'm not traumatizing you with my stories or anything like that. And you're like, ooh, you have to talk to Pastor Charles. It's the work. It's the work. Ministry is not always pretty. In Reseda, a number of years ago, when I served in pastorate, I worked with a number of churches, multi-ethnic, like here, Latin, Asian, just different times helping out. And I never forget, I was probably about 28, 29 years old, and one of our fellowship churches was going through a church split. And people are arguing, and this one gentleman rushed the stage, like literally got up, tried to disrupt the service. And one of my mentors, his name is Len Sanuki, and he went since to be with the Lord. He started to walk up there. But before he got up there, I was sitting down like this, watching the whole thing happen. I have to admit, I was a little afraid. He walked by me, said, Charles, come on. I just followed him. And he got one arm under this guy. I was probably about 27, 28. I got one arm under that guy. We carried him out physically. I'm not trying to preach ruffianism, and I'm definitely not trying. But it took faith for me to just follow. We are called by God to shepherd and to protect our flock, and not just proclaiming it, but if somebody comes through this door, the person that's responsible to protect y'all is right here. I thank God for the elders, and I'm sure they would agree with that. But that taught me that sometimes the test can come in ways that you don't expect. For Naomi and Ruth, it's going for Ruth, leave her family, leave all that she knew, to lose her husband. I'm going to glean in a field behind people who could hurt me. I'm trying to make this as real as practical. And notice how God is protecting them, because while she goes out, already the protection's there. Boaz said, don't go to any other field. And by the way, I told these men, you guys do not touch this lady. And fellas, let's be the kind of men like Boaz that our women, our daughters are safe around us. Can I get amen, brothers?
Amen.
On our life, we're going to make sure folks are safe in our offices. But that takes work. And our sisters, if you're here today, trust God like Ruth did. So Ruth, she's there working, and she meets Boaz. And she's working in the field that one day she would actually own. Isn't that amazing? Let's continue on. I want to move to the rescue. Verse 14 to 23. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain. And she ate and was satisfied and had some left. Look at God. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And you shall purposely, look at this, pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. Look at God there. So she's not just catching the leftovers. She says, you know what, fellas, tell you what I want you to do. She's not going to pick up your leftovers. She's going to be right beside you. So while you guys are harvesting, I want her to harvest. And by the way, make sure you cut some up and leave it right there for her. Do you see how God is supernaturally moving in the compassion of this man to provide for someone who is very vulnerable? That's the love of God. That's the love of God. There have been times I come across somebody in the streets and the good Lord will say, go give them something, Charles. I open my wallet. Oh, shoot. It's only a 20. Can't go break change. And I say, hey, man, God told me to give this to you. And the tears will come to their eyes. I say, can I pray for you? Tell me a story. I'm not limited in care to just financial things, but we have opportunities to demonstrate how God has come into this world to rescue people. Jesus Christ is called Savior for a reason. He saves from sin, but he's also good. He also saves us from our troubles. Can I get a witness in here? I'm happy today. I am really happy because I've seen it in my own life. He said, Ruth, come on, Ruth. Make sure, leave her a little something extra. I want to testify a bit. I was at a meeting in Seattle. I've just mentioned it. And we had a wonderful worship service, some local pastors. It was a revival. And a group of us went walking yesterday morning. I put a picture of it up Facebook. We were walking about 6:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And we're a bunch of dads, we're goofing off. Most of us grew up in the city, so we're aware of it. And one of them was from there, so we're walking across the bridge. One of the gentlemen's retired law enforcement, his name is Dennis. And so we're walking, having a good time, and we hear pop, 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 pop. And we hear that simultaneously while a truck goes by. So we're kind of debating, is this the truck or is this something else? And my friend is like, no, I think that's a gun. So we decide to kind of turn around. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not fireworks going off. So we decide to kind of turn around and go back. But before we go back, about 30 feet below the bridge, there's this fella walking around. Now it's 6:30 in the morning, so unless you're on your way somewhere, you might be up to no good. And while we're walking by, we see him kind of doing this, you know? So we decide to cross the street and make our way back. And as we're walking back, this person is kind of sitting on kind of a little bench, on the, not a bench, but a little bit of a partition on the bridge, and it's the same guy. He said, "Hey, fellas, good morning." And we just say, "Hey, what's up?" We give him one of those, you know, and smile and just keep it moving. But at this point, we don't know if it's the truck or if it's something else. So we just polite, you know, "Hey, God bless you." And we keep it moving. And then we get about maybe 200 yards away. No trucks, no cars. And guess what else we hear? Pop, 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 pop. We turn back. Guess who was shooting? That guy. Now, I mention this because I want to emphasize the goodness and care of God. Those two discharges of weaponry didn't happen while we were on that bridge. Well, at least it didn't happen at us. And we notified the authorities when we got back. But you know, I share this to say, after that brief experience and we got back, because we prayed before we left and we prayed when we got back. And thinking about it, the best thing we could have did, even before stretching, is say, "Hey, fellas, let's circle up and pray." Could you imagine all the things, if you were to see on a TV screen the way God has protected your life and provided for your life and cared for your life, not just maybe dramatic things, but just basic ways that God in his providence has ordered your steps, even when you didn't know what steps to take. And I rejoice in that. And by the way, for years, I didn't really like flying. I mean, I avoided flying. I avoided, you know, I would see people. Dr. R.C. Sproul talks about, well, years ago, he used to say he would be angry with people that would sleep on planes. He said he was in major turbulence, and he'd look, and there'd be that one guy just snoring away. And honestly, that fear and not trusting God in my life had kept me from serving him in ways that he wanted me to serve. Because I would say, "Hey, they invite me over here, come preach or come serve." I don't know, and I'd make up some excuse, but at root it was, "I'm afraid to fly." So I would pray, "God, help me to trust you and not to fear." And when I reflect about that bridge and when I reflect about how God is caring for me, this past weekend, I slept pretty good on that plane. And I had one of the best flights going back home. I said, "You know, if the good Lord kept me from getting shot in two occasions, he could keep me on this plane." And I was sleeping pretty good. I'm going somewhere with this. He rescues us in so many ways, and he rescued Ruth, and he rescued Naomi. You think back on chapter 1, Naomi thought that God's hand was against her. And if we're not careful when we're in our situations, whether it be finances, work, relationships, church, what have you, you can imagine and drum up all kinds of things so that they become bigger than God. So, God is bigger, and he rescues us. He was rescuing Ruth, and oh, she's eating good, eating and enjoying the roasted food. Let's continue on. Verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work?" May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. Look at that. Naomi's starting to get brighter. She's moving from Mara back to Naomi. And sometimes in our grief and sorrows, we need time to heal. Again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. That's that kinsman redeemer thing you see right there. 21. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to me and my servants until they've finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, look at this. It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that the others do not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. The rescue. God is positioning them for their rescue financially, materially, physically, with the food they would need to eat. He's providing. But even further, you see two people who are about to come together to be married and have children that are going to give birth to the lineage of David and ultimately to the lineage of Jesus Christ. And I hope you're seeing how the hero behind the stories is knitting this all together perfectly. Ruth coming from Moab, and even Boaz, this man of honor, was from the line of Rahab the harlot. And God redeemed her from the Canaanite people and brought her into the family of God in Israel. And through these two people, even the brokenness of their lives, God is going to piece something together that's going to be wonderful. May I say to you that this is the God that we serve through Jesus Christ. And he's here to do that for you and for me. So as I come to a close, do you have Jesus Christ as your Redeemer? Can you look at a point in time in your life where you said yes to him? And do you place your faith in him to do what he promised to do, that he did do at the cross, and the legion guide you all the way? Do you, in faith, follow him, which requires work? James says one says he has faith, and the other one says he has work. James says, I will show you my faith by my works. If you're serving the Lord, keep serving him faithfully. Whether it be here in your home church or on your job or in your community and your relationships, and when it is hard, keep on serving him. Do like Ruth and Naomi did. Just roll up your sleeves and keep getting at it. Serve them honorably and nobly that you can greet others in a way that blesses them the way Boaz did. And let's see what God does through the seasons of being faithful to him, knowing that he rewards. And then lastly, are you anticipating the rescue that he brings? The Old Testament saints look forward to the rescue that will come through Christ. We look back on it and see what he's done. But may I also say to you, and the greatest incomparable salvation and rescue we can ever rejoice in is at the cross. But he's also active in this world today. Do you hope for God to turn your situation around? Is that okay to say that? David said, I would have despaired if I wouldn't have hoped to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So no matter where you are in life, young, old, rich, poor, up, down, God is able to do something wonderful in your life today. Let us pray. Eternal God, thank you so much for the story of Ruth and your faithfulness to your people. We ask your blessings on every single man, woman, boy, and girl in this place. May we reflect on your goodness to us, and may it bring a smile to our face. You love us, And we love you back. Help us, O Lord, to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said amen.